Today on Real Radio.
Our future is secure when he says, if then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, why do you appoint those who are least esteemed? Why do you go and hire an unbelieving judge to settle your situation when you're suing a Christian?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse look at the book of 1 Corinthians. We're in a study taken from the first part of chapter 6. Here's where Paul lays out a scriptural and a logical case for believers to solve disputes among themselves within the council of other believers, and that's instead of the unbelieving world. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Out of Heaven.
Look at verse 3. Our future's awesome. Do you not know that you'll be judging angels? Okay, wait, Jack, you just said the world a moment ago. Uh-huh. Now it's angels. We're going to judge angels. That is amazing. Don't you know? Stop acting like you don't know this, that we shall judge angels. How much more things that pertain to this life? Someday, we are going to have all of God's understanding necessary and wisdom necessary for us to do this. How's it going to happen? It tells me the resurrection is going to be far more awesome than I've ever thought. The Bible says we are going to know then, we are going to know even as we are known, as he knows us. Can you imagine? Jack, yes? Gabriel's going to come up now. So what am I supposed to do? Judge him. No, actually, there's going to be an event. We're all going to be involved that somehow in eternity, angels are going to appear in front of us. And we will have the wisdom of God, and somehow amazing. Because, you know, the Bible says God has created angels to be the ministers to us who are the heirs of salvation. So somehow we're going to know stuff that we don't know now. Imagine. Say, excuse me, Mr. Angel. Where were you that day I got rear-ended by that person? No, I'm sure it's going to be deeper than all that, but... Our future's awesome. He says, how much more? Can't you discern and judge regarding things that pertain to this life? Your in-house church disputes? Why do you let the world know about them? Isn't that sad? Christian's upset with this Christian, and then it makes it in the news. We're supposed to deal with it. And he says, you shouldn't go before judges. What do they know? Now, first of all, let me say this. We have some awesome, born-again, serious judges that attend this church. Some of them are real biggies. And they love Jesus. And they've been here for years. I'm not talking about those kinds of judges. What a judge. I know judges that attend this church, they pray for God's wisdom and discernment every day before they change a person's life. When to exercise grace, when to exercise mercy, when to Can you imagine? That's the way a judge is supposed to be, mind you. You say, yeah, you say it, Jack. No, wait a minute. That's supposed to be how every one of us are supposed to be. Earthly judges have no idea when we go to a court. In fact, we go into a court and we say, I'm suing this guy because he looked at me wrong. And God told me to say this. And I went over there and I prayed and the Lord spoke to me and said, do you understand that? If you say that in a secular court, the judge is ringing the button. Get the guys with the white jackets in here now. But when you talk to the body of Christ, do we not know what you mean? You go to the judge and you say, man, I was praying and the Lord showed me this vision and I saw this thing. The guy's going to say, get him drugs now. That guy's out of his mind. The world doesn't know how to deal in spiritual matters. But let me say this. Let me be careful. Every courtroom, every law that doesn't violate the Bible, of course, is ordained by God. Paul says you shouldn't sue one another when you upset one another, when you are personally attacking one another. You don't sue one another. But does not the Bible warn us that the courts and the power systems that be have been ordained by God, Romans 13 says? Think of that. Watch this. This gets kind of fun, makes you think. In fact, this is kind of what we do in Israel on our trips to have some fun from one point to the other. This is like the real deal, but I'll use this. Mr. Bob is a Christian, okay? And Mr. Mike is not. Mr. Bob and Mr. Mike go out into the world and they both rob a bank. Mr. Bob says, God, please forgive me. He says he's sorry. Does God forgive him? The answer is yes. But Mr. Mike never asked God to forgive him. Lo and behold, they left fingerprints at the scene and both of them are arrested. Both of them are tried and convicted. Both of them are sentenced to hang by the neck until dead. Is there any problem with this story? No problem at all. But Jack, you just said that the Christian man dies too. Yeah, he dies. Why? He robbed a bank. But God forgave him. Praise the Lord. The courts don't forgive. The courts are God's instruments to execute righteousness and justice. You see the difference? There is this court here. Well, Pastor, you just hurt my feelings. Well, I'm sorry. Let's go out to coffee and we'll talk it over and we'll fix it. That's this court. You go outside these walls and you commit a crime. Guess what the Bible says about a Christian who commits a crime? He goes to jail. Did you know that? So I thought Christians automatically get off. You got that from some movie. That's not reality. A Christian judge sitting in on a criminal who happens to be a Christian, and the judge says, you get 45 years for that crime. That judge is God's instrument to implement righteousness in the land. You should have no problem with that. If you think the Christian should get off because he's a Christian, then you have a bad God. You have a weird gospel, man. God is not just. God is not righteous. You see, this is serious stuff. This is fun stuff because we live it every day. How about this? I think I'm going to make enemies here in a moment. That's what I think. I radically disagree with the way America and the world is handling the Catholic pedophile priest issue. I think it's wrong what the world is doing. I think it's terrible. And that is this. The world, in most cases, have let the church deal with its own problem in this area. I completely disagree. Hey, look. If Cardinal Jones wants to beat up Cardinal Smith, that's their business. Give them boxing gloves. Let them go out back in the church and knock each other out. That doesn't need to be in the press. That's them. But when, for example, what's happened in the world, when a priest violates a young child, you have not only sinned against the laws of the land, of course you've sinned against moral law, you've sinned against God himself. Now watch this. The moment a crime was committed, you forfeit the church's ability to make it work. In fact, the church should have turned those people in. Why? Because the government powers the police officer and the detectives and the investigators and the judge and the jury and the law that's on the books is from God. It's like they're like tools in a tool shed to the hand of God. The world has been more lenient, I think, to the detriment of children to kind of turn the other eye. We'll let the church take care of it. No, you should have let the church take care of their inner strife. But when it came to committing crimes, my Bible tells me the world should come in like a flood and deal with it big time because they are God's instruments, Romans 13 says. Are you with me on this? This is big stuff, man. This is stuff that has to be talked about. This has got to be talked about. It is an amazing thing to realize this. This godless way of thinking in our culture has become a bizarre, almost Christian 11th commandment that we don't deal with things like this. God is holy and just, and the law is established by God, and righteous and true are his judgments. It's amazing. You see, well, Pastor, what about a guy who says he's a Christian? Comes to my house and does work and totally rips me off. This is what I would do. I'd call him up and say, are you a Christian? Yep. All right, I'll meet you at Starbucks. All right, here's the deal. How come you didn't do the job? Blah, blah, blah. Lay out your case. Yeah, I don't want to hear this. Okay, what church did you go to? I want your pastor and us to meet at Starbucks here next week. I'm not going to tell you what church I go to. Guess what? Warning. Probably not a Christian. If he was, he would be fearful of the Holy Spirit's judgment in his life. He would be so convicted he'd start throwing up in his latte. The Spirit of God will not let a Christian get away with that. I'm a Christian and I've done this a bunch of times and that's just the way that it is. Oh, so you are a serial con artist. Christian. Right? I'm going somewhere with this. You're not going to like it. But it's the reality. It's exactly what Paul's talking about. If a Christian in fellowship either knowingly or unknowingly rips you off and you go to him alone privately, he says, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Man, I messed up. I'll fix it. You've won your brother. You've suppressed the division. It's all great. But if that guy goes, hey, what? Who needs you? That's what the courts are for. Wow, how could you say that? A Christian shouldn't sue a Christian. How do you know he's a Christian? His card has a cross on it. Think for a moment. It's going to get real quiet in here in a minute. Watch. You're going to buy a copier machine. Children's ministry needs a new copier machine. The kind that does a bazillion copies a month. Do you know how much those machines can cost? It's scary. You can buy a car. You can buy two cars. Oh, we're a Christian copier machine company, and we want to sell you copier machines. Well, all right. Keep the money in the family of God. That's cool. And then they rip you off. And then you make some phone calls and find out, have you ever done business with that company? Yeah, but they ripped us off. Wow. Stop right here. Watch. The salesman said he was a Christian. The company says it's like, I'm making this up. I don't know if that's the name of your company. I don't know who you are. I'm just making it up. Trinity Copier Machines. Okay, if that's your company, I'm sorry. I'm sure you have a great company. I just made it up. Don't sue me. And what happens is you find out when you call that church and that church and then that company down the road, oh, yeah, they ripped us off. Oh, everybody, listen. Here's the reality of the church. It's simpler for you. You tithe faithfully. $10 goes in the offering. Your love to God as he's commanded. You're supporting the work. Part of that $10 goes to getting a copier machine that turns out to be an absolute ripoff. As a pastor, as a staff, we're supposed to protect your offering to God. You get 100% credit, you do, because your heart was right with God. And we're supposed to be stewards and custodians over what you give to God. So, come to find out it's a company that just delights in seeing Christians and churches as suckers, and it's an easy ripoff. That's committing false judgment at the very least. Misrepresentation at the very least. Understand that. But when someone now commits crimes against you or the church, that is different. It goes into the realm of the powers that God has established. Did somebody rip you off in the name of Christ and it's what they do? Here's my question. How do you know you're dealing with a Christian? Well, it said it was a Christian company. How do you know it's a Christian company? When you have been completely ripped off, and then you know that others have been ripped off by this same entity. What evidence, come on, you guys are quiet. What evidence do you have that they're Christian? Anybody? Everything I just heard is saying that they're not a Christian. And you're correct, because what you say about yourself doesn't matter. It's what you do. That's who you are. And the Bible says, watch out in the last days. You're going to have them sitting with you. Isn't that wild? They're going to be in your own midst, it says. So what happens if somebody robs a bank and they're a Christian? Well, they're going to go to jail. This is the way it is. Listen. Paul says that stuff's for the outside courts, man. We didn't have to go there. If you're at odds with your brother or your sister in Christ, fix it among one another. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, Jesus said, this is actually a pretty awesome verse in what I just talked about. This will kind of answer the whole thing here. Matthew 5:22, listen to this. Let's call this category one. Matthew 5:22, category one. In-house, church stuff. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, that word means empty-headed fool, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, he's talking to the believer, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Watch category two. This is the world now. You commit a crime in the world, agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him. That is the way of reconciliation or the way to court. Lest your adversary deliver you to the judge and the judge hand you over to the officer and the officer throw you in prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of prison till you have paid the very last penny. That's the word of God. It's amazing. That's powerful stuff. Out of heaven comes our future. Our future is secure. Make note of that. Our future is secure, verse 4. Our future is secure when he says, if then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, why do you appoint those who are least esteemed? Why do you go and hire an unbelieving judge to settle your situation when you're suing a Christian? You're not to do it. Thirdly, verses 5 and 6, our future is relational. It's relational. I say this, verse 5, to your shame. Is it so, or is it true, we would say, that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren, his brothers? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before the unbelievers. The stuff that was going on in Corinth was that Christians were attacking one another and they're using a worldly system. God says, take care of it in the church. And you guys, this is a big deal because when we talk about relational, we need to be more relational with one another. And I'm going to drop this bomb on you guys. Because you need to know about it. It's already happening in Miami. It's happening in Chicago. It's happening in Oklahoma. It's already established in London. And it's being discussed for implementation in Massachusetts. And Dearborn and Detroit. and that is Sharia law. Watch this. Your kids all know about Sharia law. If they're in public school, they know, they already know about it. They're being prepared for it. Look at the 7th and 8th grade social studies books about Sharia law. So check this out. Christianity, I'll say this, historically, Judeo-Christian worldview is the Western, has shaped Western world culture. You with me? Our laws in Europe and here are based upon the Bible. You can scream all you want, you're going to be wrong. It's a fact. It's just a fact that we can absolutely over and over again prove. Judeo-Christian values have shaped our legal system. The Judeo-Christian value is the one that says, inside the church, handle your personal problems. Nobody wants to hear that. You want to air out your laundry, air it out in your own sanctuary. Don't bring it out in the street. And the world, Judeo-Christian value understands, there are people in the world who are not going to believe. That's the way it is. We have this legal system that encompasses both. But for both, when one violates or commits a crime, just as there's equal access under the law, there's equal punishment under the law. You've grown up in this world, and it's the best system on earth. But it's being changed right now because you're letting it be changed. I say, not you, but you know what I mean. I'm trying to be sarcastic like Paul right now. Did you know in London, and it's happening now in certain U.S. cities, that there is a parallel court? There's a parallel law. And that parallel law supersedes all Judeo-Christian law. It's called Sharia. It supersedes. It trumps. Regarding marriage, wife beating, you name it. And our lawmakers are letting this in to run parallel alongside. Think of that. It's radical what's happening. Why is it happening? I think because Christians are quiet. Our constitution's being changed. It's not that it's being changed, it's being set aside. As Christians, number one thing, number one call, we should love one another. If you pursue that, you won't have to worry about anything else. And Christians ought not to sue Christians regarding these personal areas of conduct. And if a Christian violates another Christian and rips that Christian off, I have grave doubts that that man be a Christian at all, but rather a hireling or a wolf in sheep's clothing. No wonder why Paul said, "How dare you?" Strong words, huh? The world should be looking at us and saying, "My, my, how they get along." Pretty amazing, huh?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at the first part of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, called Out of Heaven. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And remember, if you'd like to hear today's Real Radio once again, you can always visit us at realradioactive.org. Listen to today's broadcast as many times as you'd like. You can also hear past editions of Real Radio. You can even become a Real Radio podcast subscriber. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And you'll know right where to point and click. It's real easy. Realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.